Okay, let's jump right in. For ages, cybersecurity felt like something, locked away in the IT department server room, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Patching firewalls, blocking viruses. Essential work, absolutely, but seen as purely technical.
And that perception is just, well, it's broken now. Completely obsolete, really. Think about it. When a ransomware attack brings operations to a standstill, or when customer data gets exposed on the dark web, or even when a weak link in one of your vendors causes a massive leak, that's not just a technical glitch anymore.
Absolutely not. It just explodes, right, into a full-blown crisis, financial, operational, legal, reputational. And here's the crucial shift, especially if you're looking at the numbers, at the financial health of an organization. The ultimate cost, the real pain, lands squarely on the chief financial officer's desk.
Yeah, it does. And this deep dive is tailored specifically for you, the CFO, listening right now. We're pulling together insights from recent analyses and studies to explore why cyber risk has moved from the server room to the boardroom, and specifically, why it's your problem to own. We'll look at concrete places within your financial and operational oversight where you need to start digging and, how to genuinely approach this challenge, moving it out of that old tech box and recognizing it as a fundamental business risk that hits the balance sheet directly.
So let's talk about the money then. Why is this landing on your ledger with such force? The fundamental point is that cyber risk's consequences are undeniably financial and impact the bottom line in ways that are often, well, unexpected and devastating.
The scale is what's fascinating and frankly, alarming. Looking at the data from this past year, the average cost of a data breach globally hit a record high. We're talking $4.45 million on average. That's according to the latest IBM and Putnam Institute report.
4.45 million average per breach in 2024. Now, if you're hearing that, you might initially think, okay, that's a huge IT repair bill. But that's where the real insight lies, isn't it? The analysis shows that the majority of that cost isn't actually about fixing the technical systems themselves.
When you break down that $4.45 million, you see where the real financial hemorrhaging happens. The largest component is often business disruption, the inability to operate, lost revenue, maybe you can't process
Yeah,
transactions.
right, that makes sense.
Then you have massive legal and regulatory costs, the incredibly difficult to quantify but very real cost of reputational damage,
Huge.
and the direct financial hit from losing customers who, they just lose trust.
So put yourself in the CFO seat when this happens. What specific financial nightmares are you suddenly grappling with? We're talking about immediate hits like frozen cash flows because payment systems are down, or delayed receivables because billing systems are offline.
Yeah, and the costs just keep coming. Significant regulatory fines can be imposed, often tied to compliance failures discovered after the breach. There are unbudgeted costs for incident response teams, legal counsel, forensic investigators, public relations, crisis management. It goes on.
And your cyber insurance.
Well, premiums will likely skyrocket if you even qualify for renewal or don't have coverage denied based on policy exclusions or, maybe revealed negligence.
And looking further out, you face erosion of market trust. If investors or the market perceive your company as insecure or poorly managed from a risk perspective, you can see a direct negative impact on shareholder value. It's not just an IT cost, it's a hit to valuation, a hit to future earnings potential.
It truly is a financial domino effect. A technical event triggers this cascade of consequences that ultimately impacts every line item on your financial statements and potentially the long-term viability of the business. Finance becomes the cleanup crew, but dealing with costs that could have potentially been mitigated or planned for with the right proactive approach.
And that proactive approach brings us headfirst into the world of compliance. For many businesses, especially those handling customer payments, this isn't just a technical checklist. It's a critical area of financial and legal risk you must understand. Let's zero in on something like the Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard, PCI DSS.
PCI DSS, yeah. That's the standard set by the major card brands, Visa, MasterCard, Amex, for any organization that stores, processes, or transmits cardholder data. If you take credit card payments, this applies to you, period. And the reality is stark. If you experience a breach involving cardholder data, PCI DSS doesn't differentiate based on how the breach happened or, who in IT was technically responsible.
The investigation that follows a payment data breach will invariably look at your compliance status with PCI DSS at the time of the incident. And if compliance lapses are found, even minor ones, accountability isn't confined to your CISO or the security team. The card brands and payment processors hold the entire organization accountable. This raises a crucial point. Are you, as the CFO, fully aware of your organization's PCI compliance posture and the specific financial risks if it fails?
CFOs really cannot afford to plead ignorance on this anymore. It's been easy to say security is IT's job, but when a breach occurs, whether it's a failure in your internal systems or a vulnerability exploited through a vendor you rely on, well, the financial and legal accountability extends far beyond just the technology department.
And this is where the source material we looked at offers a powerful insight. This isn't fundamentally a technology problem. It's a governance and risk ownership problem.
Exactly.
Governance structures for managing business risk, for approving spend on controls, and critically for managing third-party contracts, these often sit squarely with finance and procurement, not solely with IT.
This is perhaps the most concrete starting point for a CFO looking for where to begin tackling cyber risk. You need to review these governance areas, and this includes looking very, very closely at your own merchant agreements.
Ah, okay.
The actual contracts.
Yes. Your agreements with Visa, MasterCard, your payment processors. What are your specific contractual obligations regarding security and PCI compliance spelled out in those documents? Are you fulfilling them?
Do you even know what they say?
Right. Do you truly understand the potentially severe penalties, the fines, the increased transaction fees, or even the potential inability to process payments that are outlined in those financial agreements if a breach occurs and compliance is found wanting?
Absolutely. This is where you need to align with your security experts, particularly those with expertise in payment system security and PCI compliance. They can help you understand the technical requirements, sure. But you, in finance, hold the keys to the governance of the process, the budget for necessary controls, and the financial risk explicitly tied to those merchant agreements and vendor contracts involving payment data.
Yeah.
It's a partnership, really.
Absolutely. Rooted in shared responsibility for financial resilience.
And speaking of those vendors and contracts, let's talk about one of the most significant blind spots we're seeing, your third parties. Analysis shows a huge percentage of breaches originate not within a company's own network, but through a vendor or partner.
This is staggering. An Oracle study highlighted that as many as 63% of companies that experienced a breach had to notify customers or partners because the breach was traced back to one of their third-party vendors.
63%.
Think about the implications. A vendor you brought in, maybe one you selected primarily because they were the cheapest option, could be the weak link that exposes your entire business to financial ruin.
And the material argues quite strongly that this oversight prioritizing price or convenience over robust security vetting when bringing on vendors isn't primarily an IT department failure to technically assess a vendor. It's framed as a finance and legal governance failure.
Governance again?
Yeah. Finance is involved in the budget, procurement's involved in the selection criteria, legal's involved in the contract. These are governance processes where security risk needs to be a primary consideration, not, you know, an afterthought.
So following the thread from compliance, reviewing your vendor relationships, the vetting processes you use before you even sign those contracts, and the contracts themselves becomes another absolutely critical starting point for you as a CFO.
Definitely.
Are there clear security clauses? Are vendors required to attest to or demonstrate compliance with relevant standards like PCI DSS if they handle your sensitive data or access critical systems? This isn't just nice to have language, it's a direct mitigant against significant potential financial risk.
And stepping back slightly, recent post-breach analyses reveal something telling. In the aftermath of an attack, the most costly failures often aren't about the technical details of the intrusion itself. They're about the failures in judgment, oversight, and process that existed before the incident occurred.
Which just underscores why proactive leadership from the CFO before disaster strikes is absolutely essential. You need to be asking the difficult questions now, not figuring out the answers in the middle of a crisis. The studies we looked at lay out a crucial checklist, questions that CFOs must be able to answer today.
Okay, first one. Have you actually quantified the potential financial impact of a significant breach specifically for your organization? We're talking about a real number attached to potential lost revenue, the cost of reputational fallout, and the direct expenses of response.
Do you know what a breach could cost you? Not just in abstract terms, but on your P&L and cash flow.
Exactly. Second, do you conduct rigorous vendor risk assessments as part of your procurement process? Are you truly assessing if a vendor's security posture meets your business's risk tolerance and contractual requirements? Or are you just signing based on operational capability and price?
Big question. Third.
Third, is your cyber insurance coverage truly aligned with the actual business risks you face? Have you and your legal team reviewed your policy exclusions? Do you understand what is and isn't covered specifically in the context of the business disruption and financial costs we discussed? This requires aligning with security to understand the types of risks you face and with legal or risk management to understand the coverage.
Fourth, have you conducted tabletop exercises that simulate the financial and operational response to an attack, not just the technical recovery? How would finance handle frozen cash flows, communicating with affected customers about billing, managing regulatory inquiries, or, heaven forbid, dealing with potential extortion demands?
Yeah, is finance even in the crisis plan as a central player?
Good point. And finally,
circling back to where we started, have you checked all your contracts, especially those merchant agreements, vendor contracts, and agreements with partners who handle sensitive data or access critical systems for compliance obligations, security clauses, and potential financial liabilities?
Yeah.
Do you understand your contractual exposure?
Waiting until after a breach to try and answer these questions. The consensus from the analysis is blunt. It's unacceptable and incredibly costly.
Absolutely.
Reviewing those specific agreements, your merchant contracts, your vendor agreements, and conducting a real assessment of the financial and operational risks they represent are concrete, actionable starting points you can tackle right now.
And this just highlights the absolute necessity of a strong alliance today.
Mm-hmm.
The partnership between the CFO and the CISO, or your lead security executive.
This isn't about the CFO suddenly needing to become, you know, a cybersecurity technician. That's not the point.
Not at all. It's about a shared strategic goal, protecting the financial and operational resilience of the entire organization.
Yeah.
We're seeing that forward-thinking CFOs are already taking a proactive seat at the cybersecurity table, not just as budget approvers, but as active risk donors. They understand that this is fundamentally a business risk that they are accountable for managing.
They are actively working to tie cybersecurity metrics to financial KPIs, helping the business see the value and the ROI of security investments in terms of risk reduction and resilience, not just seeing it as a cost center.
Right. They collaborate with their security leaders to ensure budget allocation for security is truly based on prioritized business risk, not just, you know, technical wish lists.
And they are fundamentally rethinking their role in governance, scrutinizing how contracts are written, how vendors are vetted, and critically, how their entire payment ecosystem exposes the business to risk.
That's key. This involves working closely with security experts to ensure payment card data is handled according to stringent standards like PCI DSS, understanding the flow of sensitive data beyond just the IT infrastructure.
Right.
And making sure third parties involved in payment processing or data handling are secure and meet those contractual obligations you talked about. It's about finance leveraging security expertise to protect the financial heart of the business.
So let's bring this deep dive to a close. The core message is clear and, frankly, unavoidable. Cybersecurity is no longer a tangential issue for IT. It is a fundamental business risk with profound financial implications that land squarely on your desk as a CFO.
The analysis we've explored leaves us with a powerful and somewhat sobering thought.
Yeah.
In today's complex landscape, the single biggest threat to your company's P&L, to your financial stability, might not be market volatility or interest rate hikes or competitor pricing.
It could very well be something as seemingly simple as a lapsed vendor contract with weak security clauses or a missed compliance requirement in your merchant agreement or, you know, a single password mistake somewhere in the chain.
And that leads to the ultimate challenge, the call to action for you right now.
Yeah.
If you are not actively asking the hard questions about cyber risk today, digging into those contracts, reviewing those vendor agreements, scrutinizing your compliance obligations around things like payment systems and customer data, you are absolutely not going to like the answers you'll inevitably get later. And those answers will almost certainly come in the form of devastating financial headlines and real balance sheet damage.
Start asking those questions today. Look at those agreements. Talk to your security experts, especially about payment systems. Your financial resilience depends on it.